Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. COVID in the basin. Ector County, 24,593 total cases, 487 deaths. Midland County, 25,601 total cases, 329 deaths. Texas, 4,018,812 total cases, 64,074 deaths. U.S. cases, 42,850,746 total confirmed and 686,639 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick Hits, Don Quixote. Hispanic Heritage of Odessa has scheduled Don Quixote Educator as part of Celebrando la Cultura, Hispanic Heritage Month, at 6 p.m. Wednesday at the ECISD Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. For more information, call Carol Uranga at 432-349-9840 or Liliana Marquez at 432-894-8128. Live performance. Christone Kingfish Ingram will present 662 Juke Joint Live from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Wednesday at the Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. For tickets or more information, visit theector.com. Readathon Fundraiser. Permian Basin Adult Literacy is holding its first ever Readathon Fundraiser. The fundraiser began in July and will run through Thursday. Not only will PBAL be raising essential funds for the adult literacy program, but students will be reading and improving their literacy skills, forming a legacy of reading. PBALC students have committed to reading a minimum of 10 books by Thursday. Sponsors will be assigned a participating student and will have the opportunity to learn about what their student accomplishes over the course of the readathon. Sponsors can choose to provide scholarship for multiple students. Both individual and corporate sponsorship options are available to sponsor, or for more information, contact Alba Austin at aaustin@pbalc.org or call 432-682-9693. General donations to PBALC are welcome at https://pbalc.org/donate. Cook-Off Fundraiser. Permian Basin Rehabilitation Center has scheduled the Great American Stakeout at 6 p.m. Thursday at La Hacienda, 12610 Texas 191 Frontage, Midland. Top grillers are invited to the Top Grill Program, the best of the best. The event will benefit the Permian Basin Rehabilitation Center. General admission and private tables are available for purchase. For tickets, private tables, or information, call 432-614-2852 or jarelano@pbrehab.com. MCH releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its daily COVID inpatient numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Monday. 69 total COVID patients in-house, med-surge non-critical, 41 COVID patients. 35 unvaccinated, 5 vaccinated, 1 unknown, includes 2 on pediatrics. critical care, 28 COVID patients, 22 on ventilators, 20 unvaccinated, 6 vaccinated, 2 unknown. Of the 20 COVID patients on ventilators, 5 are vaccinated, 14 are unvaccinated, 1 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients, 15 to 84 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Andrews, 1 from Crane, 3 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Gardendale, 5 from Midland, and 1 from Presidio. The rest are from Odessa, Ector County. Bond Committee Meeting. A public meeting of the Ector County Independent School District Bond Advisory Committee to discuss a possible bond issue has been scheduled for 6 p.m. Thursday in the Crockett Middle School Cafeteria, 2301 North Conover Avenue. Notice is being given by the ECISD Board of Trustees to advise the public that it is possible a quorum of the board could be present and may take part in discussions at the meeting. City Council to consider donating property to OC. The Odessa City Council on Tuesday will consider approving a request to donate a plot of downtown land to Odessa College so that the college can begin working on a $1.5 million Phase 1 plan to create more green space and landscaping downtown and construct a stage area for community concerts and events. The requested property is the former site of the Odessa American, located at 4th Street and Jackson Avenue. According to the proposed contract agreement between the city and OC, the college's Phase 1 plans will include construction of a community garden, food truck parking, splash pad area, a pet area, outdoor seating, and free Wi-Fi. City Manager Michael Marrero and Odessa College President Gregory Williams have said the project could help draw more people downtown, especially younger families. If council approves the land donation, the college could have the project's first phase up in 12 to 18 months. Williams had previously told council the second phase would include construction of a new three-story school building that would house the college's entrepreneurial classes. Williams has said, the new facility would also house a business incubator where students could launch new businesses. Council on Tuesday will also consider a proposed code amendment that would allow county property owners to have their property annexed into the city in order to receive city services. City Planning Director Randy Brinley said the amended code would allow individuals and companies to petition for annexation so that they can receive such city services as water and sewer, police, trash, and road management. Only owners of property located in an Ector County Assistance District would be able to apply for annexation, according to documents provided by city's legal department. Under the proposed ordinance change, a property owner will first be required to submit an application to the county requesting the annexation. The decision would be made by the commissioner's court. Council must also vote a second, a final time in order to officially approve a 2.5% rate hike for water, sewer, and sanitation. The rate increases will take effect in October. The average Odessa household will see a 0.52 cent increase in their monthly solid waste bills, Assistant City Manager of Administrative Affairs Cindy Muncy said. Residents who live in apartments or mobile homes will see a 0.27 cent increase. Small businesses will see a $2 per month increase. The average household will see their sewer rates increase by 0.53 cents per month. And residents who use 2,000 gallons or less per month will see their bills go up to 0.32 cents per month, Muncy said. Water users will also see a 2.5% increase in their bills, with users of 5,000 gallons per month seeing their bills go up by $1.92 and rates for residents who use 2,000 gallons will increase by $1.32. Qualifying senior citizens 65 years or older will pay $1 per 2,000 gallons. The rate increases will not be used to repay a $95 million certificate of obligation that council in August approved to pay for the rehabilitation of the city's water treatment plant, Muncie reassured council during their September 21 work session. The rate increases are needed to cover inflation, equipment cost, and an increase in employee salaries, Muncie said. Police Investigating Service Center Theft. The Odessa Police Department is reportedly looking for a man involved in a theft at a service center. The reported theft happened around 1 p.m. August 30th at the All-American Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Odessa Service Center, which is located at 2510 East 8th Street, an OPD press release stated. Surveillance video reportedly caught a man stealing tools and money. OPD has released photos of the man that can be seen at tinyurl.com/2HJP7RW3. Anyone with information about the theft is asked to contact Corporal J. Campbell or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 21-00-14400. PHS teacher making her mark in art world. Permian High School teacher Cheryl Stribling not only teaches her students art, but she's an artist herself. Stribling, who specializes in pastels, recently won first place in the Emerging Artist category in the Pastel Society of Southeast Texas virtual competition. There were two categories, Emerging Artist, which is what I won, and then Established Artist. Some of the members down there that are established artists are big names in pastels, so I was very excited to see their work and know that I can connect with them through this society, Stribling said. Having taught since 1995, Stribling instructs Art 1 and 2 at PHS and has a special needs class. She is in her fourth year at Permian. An Andrews native, Stribling started at Odessa College and earned a bachelor's degree in art from University of Texas Permian Basin. She also has a special education certification. She and her husband Coy have four children and six grandchildren. Because she was raising children and taking care of the home, she quit teaching at one point and opened a floral and home decor store called Bella Trotta. Art has always been a part of Stribling's life, but she didn't start getting into pastels until about 5 years ago. She started off with pastel pencils. The better the stuff you use, the more success you have, she said. It's nothing like what I have to use with students. Stribling said she's always loved pastels and she has gotten recognition for her work. Recently, she submitted pieces to the Pastel 100. I've always felt like I was more into drawing with my hands than holding a brush, so it has this sort of an extension of your hand. I found a group of ladies here in Odessa that were pretty skilled in the medium, so I went and took a few lessons to learn how to use that. But I've always drawn faces. I've always done portraits. That's what I started out doing in high school. I got a couple of blue ribbons in high school with some portraits, so then picked this back up much later in my career. I fell in love with using this medium. There's not a pastel society in West Texas, so in order to start competing, I needed to be a member of a pastel society somewhere. So I joined the Pastel Society of Southeast Texas. From there, I submitted five pieces to the Pastel Society of America for jury membership, and I was accepted. I'm not a signature member yet. I would like to be, Stribling added. She noted that Kathy Huffman also introduced her to some better materials. While COVID restricted travel, Zoom was a boon. It opened up virtual competitions like never before. I could submit so much more work digitally, and that really helped. I've been attending my meetings via Zoom. and Instagram has been a huge help. That's where I found my family of pastel artists on Instagram, she said. Obituaries, Michael Mickey Olef. Odessa, Michael Mickey Olef was born on November 28, 1937 to John and Annie Olef in Gillard, Texas, and passed away peacefully on September 23, 2021 in Odessa. He is preceded in death by his parents, John and Annie Olef, his siblings, Lila Jordan, George Olef, and Dorothea Long, Johnny Dickerson, and wife, Barbara Olef. He is survived by his sons, Mike Olef and wife, Melissa of New Braunfels, Terry Olef of Corpus Christi, his daughter-in-law, Kathy Olef of Odessa, and two grandchildren. The family would like to welcome friends and family to the viewing Friday, October 1st at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home from 6 to 8 p.m. The family respectfully asks that only close friends and family attend the service Saturday, October 2nd from 10 to 11 a.m. at Sunset Memorial with a graveside service in Girard, Texas at 3 p.m. with John Hendricks officiating. Louis Bertrand Shorty Sweden, Odessa. Louis Shorty Bertrand Sweden, 77 years old, passed away on September 23, 2021, surrounded by his family in Odessa, Texas. Visitation will help Tuesday, September 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa. Funeral services will be at First United Pentecostal Church on 17th and Texas on Wednesday, September 29th at 11 a.m. with Pastor Terry Pugh officiating. Graveside services will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Shorty was born in Fort Stockton, Texas on June 8, 1944 to Fred and Lucy Sweden. He is preceded in death by both his parents, his son Bill Sweden, brother Bob, and sisters Mildred and Shirley. He is survived by his faithful, loving wife Carolyn, brothers and sisters Jim and Sandy Sweden, Dick and Mickey Sweden, Jack and Molly Sweden, Lou Ann Henderson, Juanita Ryan, Teresa and Chris Henderson, sons Mark Sweden and wife Cherie, Stephen Sweden and wife Karen, daughters Dana Johnson and husband Eric, Joni Foster and husband David, Michelle Blackwell and husband Larry, Christy Marker and husband Lance, sons Johnny McCracken and wife Shelley, and James McCracken. Shorty and Carolyn have numerous grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and nieces and nephews, all of which were their pride and joys.
Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Odessa American for Monday. Too many people die from suicide every year. Brian Wingfield, LMFT, Samaritan Counseling Center. September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. According to the CDC, more than 47,000 Americans die from suicide each year, and over 1.4 million attempted suicides in 2019. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in this country. To help reduce the number of suicides, it is important to be able to recognize the signs that put someone in a high-risk category. A person is high risk if they express sentiments such as they have no reason to live, they do not want to live anymore. Also, high-risk thoughts include the belief that things would be better if they were not alive, or others would be better off if they were dead. If you suspect that someone you care about is having suicidal ideation, it is important to talk to them and ask questions without judgment. Listening and asking questions can help to de-escalate the person and can encourage them to be more open with their communication. Research indicates that people talking through their thoughts may help reduce suicidal ideation. People are also more likely to feel less depressed after talking about suicide with someone who listens to them without judgment. Help the person who is struggling to stay connected and avoid isolation. Studies indicate that helping someone create a network of resources and people who are willing and able to help them can reduce feelings of hopelessness. It is also important to help the other person to focus on reasons for living. A lot of people who think about suicide want to end the pain they are currently experiencing, but they often do not actually want to die. Some examples of potential reasons for living include family, friends, pets, and religion. There are, of course, many other reasons. The important thing is to help the other person come up with at least one specific reason for living. If they cannot come up with anything in the moment, you can tell them that you care about them and you want them to live. If you or someone you know is currently struggling with depression or suicidal ideation, please reach out and seek help. Trained professionals are available to help. You may contact Samaritan Counseling Center at 432-563-4144. Other voices from the Odessa American for Sunday. Letter to the Editor. Pray for Common Sense. Charles Cotton of Odessa writes, "A pox on the Democratic and Republican members of Congress. They were elected to represent the American people, and they invoke the name of the American people in all their rhetoric. But I don't believe they currently are representing the American people, but rather the positions their party has taken on the issues, and there are so many, and in many ways they are so wrong in what they want to do, particularly with social legislation. We are about to enter a new federal fiscal year, and they can't agree on a budget. Given all the spending that is taking place, the debt ceiling is fast approaching, and they can't agree on raising it to meet current obligations. They can't agree on police reform that needs to be done to protect both the public and the police. They can't agree on infrastructure that is badly needed because it has been put off so long. Look at the border crisis and immigration reform that is so badly needed. Look at the bickering on how to handle the pandemic. Look at our world standing because of the pullout of Afghanistan. Look at the speed with which some want to change the way we drive and heat our homes to combat climate change, which is real. Common sense says you don't change until you have something in place to take care of the needs. Rather than look at ways to tax the rich and corporations, they could raise the funds needed by closing the loopholes in the current tax laws. If they do raise taxes, the rich and the corporations will figure out how to avoid the increases or simply pass them on to us, ordinary citizens. Since when can a minority of House representatives, the progressives, hold the House hostage? If the moderate Democrats and moderate Republicans get together, they can, in fact, pass common-sense legislation that will benefit us all. That is my prayer each night that common sense will prevail, but I have my doubts."
Vaccine while having COVID? Is it okay to get a COVID vaccine if you currently have COVID? J.G. Answer. You can get the COVID-19 vaccine after recovering from the acute illness if you had symptoms and when you have been told you can discontinue isolation. This generally means at least 10 days have passed since the onset of symptoms. You are more than 24 hours without fever and without taking fever-reducing medications, and any other symptoms you may have had are improved. People with severe immunodeficiency should consult with an infectious disease expert before ending home isolation. If you were treated with monoclonal antibodies, you need to wait 90 days before getting the vaccine. Many people are eligible to receive the monoclonal antibody treatment for COVID-19, and studies show it reduces symptomatic and severe COVID-19 infections from 23% to 9%. Talk to your doctor as soon as you are diagnosed to see if you are eligible for this important treatment. The current available antibody treatment, imdevimab and sotrovimab. seems to be active against the newer variants of the virus, such as Delta.
This is the Dear Abby column. Reader says Abby came down too hard on friend's mistake. Dear Abby, I took exception to your response to former friend in Oregon, July 1st, who vaped marijuana while visiting a friend in the presence of the friend's 12-year-old future stepdaughter. The friend made a mistake for which she apologized profusely. She had flown cross-country to visit her pregnant best friend, no small thing. Flying can cause both anxiety and nausea, and the woman said she uses vaping to relieve both of those issues. Further, it was legal in that state. Pregnancy can cause hormones to be out of whack, and the pregnant friend might have been more emotional and reactive than usual. Former friend stated she did not have experience with children. If her judgment was poor, she apologized for it and didn't try to minimize it. I truly believe she should be forgiven, and that one mistake should not end the entire friendship. This incident could have been a teaching tool for the child, referencing bad judgment, forgiveness, value of friendship, etc. Friendships are vitally important. I could not have navigated what life has thrown at me without the support of close friends. A friend who travels far to visit her bestie should not be discarded over one error in judgment, especially when she so willingly apologized. Signed, Forgiving in North Carolina. Dear Forgiving, that letter drew a huge response from readers, many of whom expressed similar feelings to yours. They pointed out that marijuana is becoming increasingly legal and normal in our society, and it is a topic that should be openly discussed with the 12-year-old. They also felt the girl probably knows more about drugs than the two women do. She asked her future stepmom, was she smoking weed? Consensus was universal that former friend may have committed a faux pas, but not an unforgivable one, and I should not have been so hard-nosed. Dear Abby, I was married in a double wedding with my twin brother. Fast forward, my husband and I will celebrate our 25th anniversary in 3 months. My brother and his wife divorced 10 years ago. Our three adult children want us to have a big anniversary celebration, as do my husband and I. My brother says that since it would have been his anniversary too, I'm being selfish and insensitive to his feelings. Our mother agrees. Both said if we have a party, they will not attend. I think they are the ones being selfish. My husband and I have had our share of hardships, but we worked and talked through them. I feel we deserve this celebration, not only for us, but also our kids and friends. Your thoughts? Signed, Silver Anniversary in Arizona. Dear Silver, you are neither selfish nor insensitive. Celebrate your 25th anniversary. Congratulations, by the way, in any fashion or at any time you and your family choose. It is regrettable that your self-centered twin brother and overly indulgent mother adopted the attitude they have and attempted to make the occasion all about him. But the choice was theirs. Graciously accept their refusal to attend and have the party and enjoy every minute of it. Signed, Dear Abby. You could write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.